Hello, my name is Rich Jones. I'm a co-founder of U-Turn and the chief clinical officer of U-Turn Health. And I'm also a co-host of this wonderful podcast.
And my name is Liz, and I'm a co-founder of U-Turn and a co-host of You Learn, You Turn.
And let's get the show on the road.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of You Learn, You Turn. Today, I am so lucky to have one of our very own U-Turn health coaches. Her name is Tiffany Hines. And in all honesty, I've just had the privilege to meet her. Of course, I've seen her on group team meetings and stuff like that, but I've never had the pleasure of meeting her in person. This is as person as we get in our company right now. But anyway, it's great to meet you, Tiffany. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Elizabeth. It's really nice to meet you too. I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful. So I do know one thing about you for sure, that you are John Ponder's daughter. And if anyone doesn't know who John Ponder is, just go look him up, Google him, all the wonderful things he's doing in the reentry area. And he is just a wonderful man. And if you don't know about him, go look him up. But today is about Tiffany. So I really would love for you to tell our story. I personally don't know your story and would love to hear it. I hear it's wonderful. So I'm just going to let you talk. Tell us what brought you to U-Turn Health? Because not everyone ends up at a recovery place like this.
Just a little bit of my backstory. I was born into a very chaotic environment. My father was an alcoholic and my mother kind of battled with her own demons. So there was a lot of abuse and substance abuse growing up in my household. I experienced molestation the first time I was 8, another time when I was 12. And 12 was a really pivotal age for me. My father had gone to prison. The molestation happened and it kind of sent me off on the wrong path. So what that looked like for me is I started cutting school. I started experimenting with substances. That's kind of when my roller coaster ride began. I, as a teenager, was sent to like behavior modification programs in another state. And I would like to say they helped. I learned a lot about like accountability and integrity. And I kind of put my cape on and I jumped into my first abusive relationship at the age of 19. I remember growing up.
Tiffany. I'm trying to keep myself on track because there's so much depth and layers to the story. But when your father was in prison is when the molestation happened.
Yes. No. So when I was 8, I was molested by a female babysitter, actually. So I didn't put that together that it was wrong until well into my adulthood. 12 was the second time it happened with a male. And that was the first time my father went to prison. So those were like two significant milestones, I guess you could say, for me.
Did you have siblings?
So on my father's side, I have 6 younger brothers and siblings. And on my mother's side, I have 1 older sister, but I'm the only child that the two of them have together.
Okay. All right. So you started to go to places where they were supposed to correct your behavior as a teen.
Yes. Yes. Okay. It got out of control. I was skipping school. I wasn't coming home. My behavior was pretty erratic. Like thinking back on it now, I think a lot of it was a cry for help. I think I also kind of had some deep-seated stuff going on to where I didn't feel good enough or accepted within my home environment. So I tried to get that other places outside of the home. And that's just how it manifested for me. When I was 16, my mom kind of hit the brakes and said I needed to go somewhere to get help. So they sent me to a behavior modification program and I stayed there till right before my 18th birthday.
Okay.
When I got out of that program, I had learned that my father had go to prison for the last time that he went. I remember growing up and watching these domestic situations and telling myself that that would never be me. Like, I would never allow a man to do that to me. And I got out of this program and I was super about my feelings. And I put my cape on, so to speak, and I jumped right into my first project, like a person I thought I could fix. And I learned a lot in that situation. I also got addicted to the first substance that brought me to my knees, and that was opiates. It started out as oxys, and then eventually progressed into heroin. So I went in that battle for a decade. While I was in the midst of that addiction was when my father got out of prison, and he had told me that he found Jesus and he turned his life around, and I was really skeptical. And I remember the first time I told him what I was battling with, and I tried to do the things that he said worked for him. I tried to go to church. I tried to do all these things to kind of alleviate this, but I was in it so deep that, it didn't ever really seem like I could stop. And I did that. I did that for, gosh, like I said, a decade. I was in and out of jail more than I could count. I have been to prison twice. The last time I went to prison, I was facing pretty heavy circumstances, and my father at this point had turned his life around, and he's starting this organization, and I'm watching people follow him and listen to every word he said. And, he was able to show up for me in my life, at a capacity he'd never been able to before. So he was my biggest supporter. I also just kind of wasn't ready. Like, it was never, there was never a rock bottom for me. It just kind of progressively got worse.
Right. It's like that for a lot of people. They don't really have something so bad that shakes them to their core. So it's almost like, why not keep using if you haven't had major consequences? Although I know you were suffering inside. I know I was.
Yep. And I would, like I said, I would get locked up, or I would go to treatment centers, and I would have what I like to refer to as like a moment of clarity, right? Like, the fog is lifted and the substances are removed, and I would make these plans like, well, if I just get a job, or if I just do this. I had a son who I had, and I was sober, and I got postpartum depression, and that event like kind of triggered me back into a relapse. So I just remember like envisioning my son, and if I could just do it for him, and I would do good for a while. And then it was only a matter of time. So I ended up right back in the same cycle. This last time that I got clean, I was in another abusive relationship with my kid's dad. And because my father had gotten out of prison and he turned his life around and he got the pardon from Donald Trump, he was able to take my son. And it set off like a chain of events. So he has my son and he's blowing up my phone. And, I remember I didn't want to answer because I knew what he would say. And I tried to go to church and I tried to do these things and they didn't work for me.
Right.
And he texted me a number and he said, call this person. They know something about recovery. And I did. And that person was the owner and CEO of a treatment center that's out here in Las Vegas. And he asked me if I was ready to get help, and that he could get me into this treatment center the next day. And I remember telling him, like, if you can get my dad to stop calling my phone, I will go wherever you want me to.
Whatever, yeah.
And he did. My dad stopped calling, and the next day I let him pick me up. He picked me up with my kid's dad, and we went to the treatment center. I remember going in, my plan was like, okay, I'm just going to get all the substances out of my body, and then I'm going to go to family court next week, and I'm going to say, give me my kids back, because like, I'm pretty solid without drugs and alcohol. And luckily that is not what happened. There was like a power greater than myself that was working in this scenario. My kid's dad ended up leaving, AMA against medical advice the day before we were supposed to discharge. And this set off a lot of fear, and insecurity within myself. And so the next day when it was time for us to discharge, instead of calling him, I called my dad. And my dad had come down And I knew something was up because normally they like give you all your property back and they didn't do that. They pulled me back in this office and I just remember feeling loved and supported. And they sat me down and they were like, well, you go upstairs. And it's so funny because in my mind at that time, I was like, 90 days is so long, but yeah. I had nothing really going for myself to not be able to sacrifice that time. But I did, I agreed. And I asked my dad, as long as you keep me informed on what's going on with my kids, I'll go. That was the best decision I ever made. And at this treatment center, they plug you in with 12-step programs. Like you have to go to 12-step programs. And I did. And I worked. I started saving my money. I ended up getting scholarships into a sober living after that treatment center, meaning they covered my rent for 2 months because they knew I was saving money to get this place for my kids. And I started going to those 12-step meetings and I did what they suggested to do, which I got a sponsor and I started working steps and something really remarkable happened. Like I got my kids back and I got the case closed that I had for my kids and I got a car and I got a driver's license and all these like basic fundamentals of life that any normal functioning person should have that I just didn't.
Right.
I just realized that I didn't have any life skills. I didn't have any really tools to utilize and like changing my life in the right direction. And luckily I got plugged in with this 12-step fellowship because I was surrounded by amazing women that had their children. And I was surrounded by respectable men and all these people that were willing to give me guidance, and be gentle about it. Like, and compassionate, and I could relate to them. And most importantly, they got me in touch with a power greater than myself, so that I had something to fulfill the hole on the inside of me that wasn't outside of me. Because that's what I did for a long time. I was trying to fulfill something that was lacking inside with things outside of myself.
Right.
And it never worked.
Yeah, it doesn't. I tried as well.
Yeah. No, so I am.
If you don't mind me asking, how old were you at this point, Tiffany, when you had gotten out of or headed into sober living?
32.
Okay. All right. So we've gone from 19 to 32. That's a long time of, I imagine that you were in and out of sobriety or maybe having a little bit here, a little bit there, trying to appease your father. One thing that really hit me when you were talking about your dad and you said, when the treatment center guy called and you said, if this will get my dad off my back, to any parents listening who've been told that tough love is the only way to go and you're enabling your kid when you call them or when you reach out to them, you got to let them hit rock bottom. There have been a lot of cases like yours where the parents are persistently loving their children and continuing to contact them. And just look what it did in that instance. What a beautiful thing. I mean, you were so tired of your dad caring for you so much that you were willing to do something about it. So I just want to say to the parents who have their children out there who are suffering, just never give up. While there's breath, there's hope. Okay, continue.
Definitely. And so I started, the way it started for me was I started consciously doing things that went against what my brain told me to do. And that might sound crazy, but I started intentionally conditioning myself to have better habits, making my bed every day. It was little victories that really, these little habits and these little practices that strangers were telling me to do that really helped me to change the trajectory of my life. And so I'm working, I get my kids back. I live in this 3-bedroom condo and I want to help. I want to be of service. I want to say U-turn was really that moment for me, but I'll just tell you how it started. So I get a job in a treatment center. And I worked in a treatment center and I was a behavioral health tech and I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, from that treatment center, I ended up going to a case manager at Hope for Prisoners, which is the organization my dad runs.
Uh-huh.
And I, as a case manager, I can, and I didn't know this, that I was definitely meant to be a peer coach, but in some of the tell people how to do things sort of way. And it was also rare because I have lived experience. So I'm sitting across from someone and I've been where they're at. So, and having those moments and I was like, yeah, I enjoy doing this, but something in my spirit was like, no, I don't, this is it. I like being in this field. And then what happened was every time that there was something that had to do with substance abuse or alcoholism, I always get pulled into those meetings.
Right.
My dad had asked me to start running a meeting there that I still do every Monday night, but it was a meeting with Hamilton. And so I get called into this meeting. I get a text. He's like, come in here. And I come and I sit down next to Hamilton. I have no idea. He's talking about U-turn. And at the end of it, everybody shares their thoughts. And my dad's like, what do you think? And I'm like, well, this is amazing. Like, if there was something like this when I got out, who knows what difference that would have made, right? So, and I share some of my story, and Hamilton jokingly, but maybe not, it's like, yeah, you should come work for us. And
he wasn't joking.
I remember my dad saying, yeah, if we could get her certified or whatever. And then it became like a real conversation. And I remember sitting down with him and he was like, do you think that would be a better fit for you? And I said, yeah. And so I started that process and I interviewed with Rich. And then when I started doing this, it's really been like a full circle moment for me. I know, and I hear this all the time, like using your mistakes to help somebody else through it. And that's exactly what this has been. Obviously, going through the peer support training, I'm like, wow, you get to support different pathways. And I've always seen that. I saw it in the way that my dad got sober and turned his life around. I learned that not everybody is recovering from substance abuse. There's mental health, there's trauma, there's so many things that the world is healing from. And so peer support felt just like a stepping into the most comfortable skin that I could be in, because you truly get to help and support people through whatever it is they're going through. So it has been an absolute amazing experience. And the people that I get to help and the population I get to serve, it really feels like it's not work sometimes.
Oh, Tiffany, that is wonderful. Peer support to me is just, it's like having your best friend that's gone through the exact same thing that you have on speed dial every day. And I feel like even if without substance use disorder, just loneliness alone, I feel like peers, you know, it really can change the world. And I know you're changing so many lives. I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but I was just thinking about it while you were telling your beautiful story. Do you have like one case that you could talk about anonymously that where you've seen someone's life turned around in the time that you've been with them? Or is there anything you'd, if that's not good, is there anything you'd like to say to someone who is still out there struggling and wondering what peer support's about? Should they jump in?
Yes. So I will take the second question only because I think to get that answer for you, I would have to like dig deep and really think. Yeah. I've seen so much positive change.
That's great.
From the people that I work with. Say anybody that is still struggling, I would say that one, I don't believe that we're meant to do this alone. I don't think we are meant to heal from or overcome anything alone. And it's truly empowering and really remarkable to have someone who genuinely cares about you and your well-being to non-judgmentally support you through things that go through your life and really come from a place of empathy. I know that like the coaches I work with give so much of themselves to the people on the other end of the calls or the computer screens. So like, I think the biggest advice I would say is that you're not meant to do this alone. And anything that you are going through that you feel like is unique to you, because like the pain is so great and the suffering is so great, there's someone else who's been through that too, that can help you, guide you, hold your hand through that experience. But I think that's the most powerful piece. And I think that's what I would have liked to hear the most when I was still out there and still going through it, is that like, you don't have to do this alone. And there's a whole team, not even peer support is everywhere, but at U-Turn, there's so many of us that want to help you to get through your experience the way that you want to get through it, and just honor and hold space for you. And I think there's so much power in just that.
Wow. I really don't know what to say after all that. That was just beautifully put. And the fact that you have come through the fire and are now turning your life around and helping others with your experience, that's what it's all about. That's what I've done by telling my story and helping others. And, you know, when you're in addiction or you're in a mental health crisis, you feel so alone and stigmatized, and like there's something wrong with you and that you're all alone and that there's so much shame involved. So thank you for helping break that stigma and saying that, you know, there is no reason to be alone. No one has to be alone. So Tiffany, I thank you so much for everything you do for U-Turn Health, but just for everybody. I mean, you're just a beautiful person all the way around. So I know your children are so glad to have their mom and, you know, present for them. And I know your dad is so proud of you. And maybe one day we will get him on the podcast with you.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
You can track him down.
I will. I can.
We've got an in with you. All right. Well, listen, I'll let you get back to work. But Tiffany, you're amazing. And I just appreciate everything you're doing for us. And come back and see us another time.
Thank you. I would love that, Elizabeth.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time on You Learn, You Turn.